And now it's time for some questions of our own as we join Diana O'Carroll with our question of the week.
This week, I felt the earth move.
Hi, this is Casey from Berkeley, California, United States. I have a question about earthquakes. It seems like there have been an awful lot of big earthquakes lately. Is there some reason there seem to be a lot at once? For instance, like maybe one of the plates moves, it somehow affects a lot of the other plates too. Or is this just a coincidence? I live very near the Hayward Fault in the San Francisco Bay Area, so should I really start earthquake-proofing my house and lab now? I love the show.
There have been many earthquakes across the globe, heavily reported in the media. But is that all that's changed?
Hello, this is Gopal Madhubushi. I'm a reader in geotechnical engineering at University of Cambridge. It is true that large earthquakes have happened in close succession recently. For example, two large earthquakes in Christchurch in New Zealand and a very large earthquake in Japan. However, the fault systems in Japan and New Zealand are quite separate, and there are no interconnections between them. So the earthquakes occurring together is a pure coincidence. Having said that, the two earthquakes near Christchurch may be interconnected with stress release from one fault affecting the other. If you live in a seismic area, it is always better to consider earthquake-proofing your house.
Earthquakes haven't occurred any more in the last 20 years than they have done over the last century, but we have far more seismograph stations and much better methods of reporting, communication and accessible news. So we're being deluged with more stories about earthquakes, which we know a lot more about. Plus, there are many more people in the world now who can be affected by such earthquakes. But next week, we move from continental drift to genetic drift.
My name is Alan, and I'd like to know what the point is of non-coding DNA.
Does non-coding DNA actually code for something else? Answers to Chris at thenakedscientists.com or forum us with thenakedscientists.com/forum. You can Facebook us or you can Twitter at Naked Scientists.
Diana O'Carroll with this week's Question of the Week. And you can get Question of the Week as a podcast in its own right at thenakedscientist.com/QOTW, or you can look it up on iTunes. Well, that's all we have time for this week. Big thanks to our guest, Karen Scott, and also to Barry Marshall, and to our production team, Tom Simpkins, Miracintha Lingam and Ben Vowsler. Next week, we are delving underground for a solution to the energy problems of tomorrow with a look at coal gasification. This is a way of turning underground coal seams into syngas, stuff you can burn, but you don't actually have to dig anything up. Plus, a clever new way to scavenge CO2 from waste flue streams and turn it into useful things, including chlorine and bicarbonate of soda. Join us next week to find out more, and if you have any questions on that, you can send them to chris@thenakedscientists.com.
The Naked Scientists comes to you from Cambridge University and is supported by the Wellcome Trust, the EPSRC, the Natural Environment Research Council, and UK FAST. For more information, look us up online at thenakedscientists.com.